I have a guest this morning, Meredith Arwady, who is the celebrated and world-renowned contralto, who's appeared in productions of operas around the world and will be presenting a solo recital near us on Friday night. Meredith, so nice to have you back at WMUK.
It's wonderful to be here.
The concert is Friday at 7:30 at First United Methodist Church in South Haven. So this summer, the South Haven Performance Series has presented a number of artists, and I think it's about to wrap up, maybe the second to last.
I believe so.
Yeah. So, again, we get to hear you in recital. Let's maybe remind listeners that from time to time, you present concerts locally while juggling the opera career.
Well, I think recitals are just the most exciting thing I do, just about. I love opera and I love becoming a character, but the nice thing about a recital is you create the evening. You say what you want to say, mm-hmm. and you can connect in a way that doesn't rely on an entire role, but you say, this is what I'm saying tonight, and I want all these different composers to come together to make it possible.
You get to play a whole lot of characters.
Absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite things that I feel very strongly about is whenever possible, I try to do a majority, or in this case, the entire performance in English.
Which is not as common as you might think.
It really isn't.
Yeah, a lot of singers depend on the classics of the repertoire.
Absolutely, and it is a little difficult sometimes because as a contralto, the songs of Brahms and Wolf and all these and Schubert are really perfect for my voice, but they're pretty much exclusively in German. Or you'll do sets. I do a set in lots of other languages. There are Spanish sets, there are French sets, but I feel strongly about when you're watching an opera, usually you'll have super titles, which means above the stage or in front of you, you will have the translation, the immediate translation of what's going on. But it's actually sometimes a bit of a disconnect because you'll miss some of the physical comedy on stage. And actually, it's very amusing because often the super titles are timed differently with what you're saying. And so I had a countdown once. I had a thing. I'd be doing all my dialogue in German. I would say the funny thing, no reaction. I'd be on, and I'd say 3, 2, 1, boom, and the audience would explode with laughter.
Because they read the translation.
Absolutely, and they were very amused, even though it had no direct correlation to what I was saying. But
disconcerting as a performer.
It is, but I always would prefer people understanding what you're saying. Yeah. And so what's special about this is we don't need to have a printout of the words. And I work very hard on the dictions so I can connect with everything I'm saying with people. So hopefully they'll understand in the moment.
I want to remind listeners that, Meredith, you grew up in Kalamazoo, went to Loy Norricks High School.
And KAMSI. Math and Science Center.
And then went to the Curtis Institute.
After Hope College, actually, in Holland, Michigan. Okay. I was there for my undergrad.
There you worked with some amazing professors as well as fellow students who remain close to you today, and many projects can grow out of these things.
Absolutely. And one of the wonderful things about Curtis is being so small, you really get to know everyone. And most of my friends were not singers. And I was friends with double bass and composers and conductors and a flautist and a cellist. And so you can create collaborations with them. And you also would go to their master classes and you would go to their performances and you can learn so much. I went to a double bass master class and I was the only non-double bass there. And he was discussing something and they realized, oh, we have a singer here. So they said, how would you sing this? And so it's true. You sing something different than you would play something. In the same way, when I played violin very terribly for many years. And sometimes if I'm working on something and I can't quite get how it flows together, even if I don't have an actual violin, just taking it out and moving my fingers, it'll just slide into it and you'll feel connections. And in warm-ups, my teacher will often say, all right, take out your cello because you're not doing this correctly. Just an imaginary one, and it completely changes how I connect to my breath, how I connect to a phrase. It's fascinating.
in us instrumentalists are always being told to sing the melody. Think about singers. How would you put words to this melody? Give it meaning. You know, be more connected emotionally.
So we can all learn from each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I am thinking about composers and, yes. You know, looking at some of the pieces on the program, I do see world-famous composers and some new names to mm-hmm. me. You also were friends with people who were struggling to become, or not, I don't know if they were struggling, but, you know, thinking about what it is to compose and what it is to even write a great song.
Absolutely.
2-minute song.
Absolutely.
And what are some of the hallmarks to you?
Well, just as a... Do you know the song Smile by Charlie Chaplin? I'm so fascinated by that one because I love the idea that you know the song and you hear the song sung by a whole myriad of people, including Judy Garland very famously. I mean, just heartbreakingly. And the fact that you say, oh, that's a great song. Then you hear Charlie Chaplin wrote it and it brings a whole different level. Because you say, oh, he had to always play the funny person. He had to be, you know, all these things. And the fact that he just said, this is inside me. And he did the lyrics and he did the music. And I just think songs like that are so important. And actually, many of the songs on my recital are both words and music by the same person. And I'm always drawn to that. I was an English major at Hope, and one of my projects was taking existing songs and writing new poetry to it and singing it in class. And so the idea was that no matter what the words were, just take this melody and what is it saying to me and how do I want to express it in new words?
Well, let's take a closer look at the pieces you've chosen for Friday night. Mm-hmm. And before we got started, you said this, you know, story is important here.
Right.
Thinking about how the pieces connect and where we go from song one.
Because it's difficult because with my low voice, many of my songs tend to be slow and dark and depressing and, you know, introspective. And I want to make sure it's peppered with woohoo. Yay, music is fun. Yay, look, I can have joyful thoughts and a little bit of dancing and swing. So part of creating a recital is trying to make sure you have both drawing people into moments, but then also making them laugh at themselves or to be connected to your voice in at a different speed.
So we begin with kind of a stranger in a strange land
right.
idea.
Right. So I'm beginning with a cappella, actually. I love starting a cappella, especially being in a church. I find that you can really settle down and you can hear the acoustics and you can just hear your voice playing back to you. And it's almost like you're not rushed, you're not slowed, and you can just listen and let it play back to you. So sometimes I feel like a motherless child because what I tried to do with this recital is go on a bit of a journey. And sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. And then moving into a set of 3 vignettes, 3 very short little pieces from a song cycle called Ellis Island. And it's written by Alan Lewis Smith. And I heard it. He wrote it in 1999 for Stephanie Blythe, an amazing mezzo-soprano. Mm. And I heard it when she toured it with him in Philadelphia in the early 2000s.
She's also drawn to American or
absolutely
English recitals.
She's a wonderful, wonderful champion. She's done whole recitals on the music of Kate Smith. She does ones that encourage audience sing-along, which I just think is wonderful.
That's great.
To just say this is a shared experience, which is really what a recital should be. And so this is a set of about 24 pieces, and I'm not doing 24. I'm just doing a few short ones, but I'm fascinated by this whole set. Because it was created, well, it was the idea was by a man named Paul Sergist Jr., who was, and may still be, the director of the Ellis Island Oral History. And what he's done is since the 80s, he's recorded people talking about coming to Ellis Island and what they left behind, their life, things like this.
Big project.
Exactly. And he met the composer and he sent him about 200 clippings of recordings that he thought were especially musical. And he said, this might be nice. And the guy's like, yeah. And he kept thinking about it. And he came up with these. And the two we've chosen, they talk about, I had to leave my mother and she was sick. And I've never seen her again. And I will always wonder if I should have left. And another one talking about advice from a mother. So it's the same idea with the mother and long way from home and going on a journey and truly trying to figure out who you are.
Alan Lewis Smith is not the first composer to set prose. Mm-hmm. Usually composers kind of work with poetry that rhymes, mm-hmm. but it can be done. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of a project in England called London Road?
No.
Oh my goodness. I've never seen it live. It was at the National Theatre first. It was written by Blythe and Cork. And it's amazing. It was based entirely on interviews about a serial killer in Ipswich.
Okay.
And
that's
what it
the
is
dark
is
material.
They did, absolutely, but it was brilliant and it was smart and funny. And what it was were all these interviews with locals. And what they did for the musical is they absolutely mimicked. I've never seen anything like it. They mimicked verbatim the style, the cadence, the everything about it. And it was amazing. And so it sounded just like the interviewers. And they turned it into a musical.
Okay. Have you heard? Have you?
Yes.
Gavin Bryars, Jesus Blood Never Failed Me Yet.
No. What is it?
It's a clip of a folk singer on the street. And it's and he sings in a very rough, tough, shaky voice, Jesus Blood Never Failed Me Yet. Mm-hmm. And Bryars turned it into an hour of accompanied versions of it.
See, I think that's amazing. And it's kind of what many pop artists are doing now, where they'll take one set thing and then they'll branch out and they'll record themselves doing things on top of it. Yeah. And I think it's so current. But it's also how it was done, you know, hundreds of years ago as well, with ABA form, where you take something, you do the first section, mm-hmm. the A section, then you go, you do a B section, all different. Then you go back to the A and you say, this is what I do that's different. And you get to really show off. And this could take forever sometimes with some of these singers, but they might change the octave. They might add embellishments. They might go extreme with the dynamics and go very soft. But they say, these are my skills. Yeah. And you're going to sit there and you're going to listen as I show you. And it's just wonderful.
Well, and no one was expecting to hear the exact same thing. They were waiting for that.
Exactly. And now, so it's interesting, if you're going back and working on something from that period, you'll find a singer with which you feel an affinity with their range and maybe their strengths. And you'll go back and you'll find what they did for their own ornamentations or their own embellishments. And it's wonderful because the composers would write for that voice specifically. And Mozart had his special group and everyone else. And when you find someone, you can really get excited about the same arias that inspired them.
Well, I'm with Meredith Arwady, and she's performing at the First United Methodist Church of South Haven at 7:30 on Friday, and we're just getting into this program. If you don't mind, I'd like to take a musical break. I have something queued up here. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, and the performer is Marian Anderson.
Oh, my goodness.
And we can hear her and then proceed on to other highlights of the program. So we'll be right back with Meredith Arwady.
Oh.
clearly an historic recording of the contralto, Marian Anderson. And if you just tuned in during the music, you heard her sing Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. And my guest, Meredith Arwady, will begin her recital on Friday singing this a cappella.
And actually, Marian Anderson at the Curtis Institute at the top of the stairs on the level where the voice program was a painting of her making her Met debut in Un Ballo Maschera. And it was such an inspiration every day. She's unbelievable.
What was her era? What, the 50s, the 40s?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. 40s, 50s.
And yes. 60s, of course.
And she was known for singing the protest on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Just, oh, what a voice and what a dignified woman. Just really spoke for an era.
And a beautiful melody. you're starting off this this journey, as you call it, with, you know, a longing for community in a way, and then going through the experiences of actual people who talked about going to Ellis, their time at Ellis Island.
Yes.
And then there's a tune by Benjamin Britten and Kurt Weill.
So what we did there is we tried to continue the theme of water, with them traveling on that, and by going, the water is wide, give me a boat that will carry two, and we will row, my love and I. And then my ship, which is, if the ship I sing doesn't also bring my own true love. And then it's moving on into having an interest in someone. The boy next door, do you know that one? How can I ignore the boy next door? I just love it. And then a little bit in love. So this is getting a little lighter, and I think I'm a little bit in love. And then ending with de lovely, where it's just absolutely de lovely. Everything is deluxe and special when you're in love.
When you can still remember just a few years ago, you were feeling like, I'll never make it here. Nothing's going to work out. I feel so alone. And then time tends to work wonders, you know, with finding your place and finding your community and then falling in love sometimes.
Right. And then after a little break, we're continuing on with a group of lullabies and quite varied. And I was inspired by becoming a mother myself 16 months ago. Mm-hmm. And he very much responds to music. And I'll make up songs throughout the day and sing to him. And so what we're starting with is a fascinating song called Christmas Lullaby. It's a composer named Jason Robert Brown. And it's and it's from Songs for a New World, which is just an astonishing evening. And I actually have two pieces from that in this. I've never, so much of this recital I've never performed. I was really inspired to go outside my comfort zone and really stretch myself to memorize new things and find new connections. But what's interesting about Christmas Lullaby is that was the song that was in my head my entire pregnancy. That's what she's basically saying, the future of the world inside of me. And I will give the world my eyes that they can see. And I will be like Mother Mary, and I'll suffer any pain for the future of the world inside of me. So I'm going to have to get through that without crying, but that is just, to me, saying, here, I'm giving this gift. I'll go through anything to provide a life for this child. And then we have Lullaby Group, including the famous 14 Angels from the Hansel and Gretel by Humperdinck, which I just think is so beautiful. And then we go through and do All the Little Horses, Blacks and Bays, Dapples and Grays, so a little more upbeat. And then ending with the iconic Summertime.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Do you consider this a trial or a one-off, or is it something you might hope to, you know, cement into a special program, like a personal program?
I think I'd like to. I think I will see how this goes. I love the fact that after the recital, there will immediately be a gathering for have a cookie, say hello. Mm-hmm. And I love knowing what people feel works and what they do respond to and how the flow of the evening goes, because we worked hard to try to have it go up and down, but to have keys move from one to another so it's not so jarring and they seem to be connected. And hopefully they'll go on the journey with us. So I love doing recitals. And whenever I'm working somewhere, I like to try to find opportunities local.
You're working with a local pianist, but
yes,
a longtime friend.
Absolutely.
Marie Kerstetter?
Marie Kerstetter. She is very well known to the local music community. She does music directing for musicals at Farmer's Alley and The Civic and Kindleberger. And she did all my 4 years at Loy Norris as well. And she has a real affinity for musical theater and for... She gets very, very excited about this rep, as I do. Yeah. And it's exciting to push the envelope a bit in what I'm doing that I might not have done in recitals in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, every time you mention a composer or a song I know, then there's an accompanying one that you've discovered that will be a discovery for me and for a lot of the listeners out there.
And I think that's important for people to both recognize some and also to be inspired to go learn more about others. Are you familiar with Audra McDonald?
She's a great music theater star and
she's
multi-talented.
Amazing. And she also was studied at Juilliard with voice. So she really comes to her singing from such a healthy and inspired, and she's just amazing anyway. But one thing I love is when I go to her recitals, often there's no program at all. And as you're leaving, they give you a list of what you heard. And one of the best things about it is I know lots of music. I've seen many musicals. I know lots of interesting composers. But often I'll go and I'll know two, maybe three on her entire recital. And she'll talk about who the composer was, what they wrote for her, why she's drawn to it. And she's a real champion of new music. And also just brilliant at connecting with the audience.
Context can be a big help in coming and enjoying music. But it also, you know, sometimes it's nice to go in totally cold and be surprised. So the concert, let's remind listeners again, is Friday at 7:30 at First United Methodist Church in South Haven. It's part of a performance series that's been going on all summer and will be wrapping up in not too long from now. So this is a chance to check out the series, which I'm sure they'll want to bring back next summer. And it's a wonderful vocal recital with contralto Meredith Arwady and pianist Marie Kerstetter. You pointed me toward Sarah Connolly's recording of a Britten song called A Charm.
And that is what we will begin the second half with in the recital, for when things change a bit.
Quiet! With the snake, the cruel rod upon the stake, thy body to the boiling lake, the fire and brimstone never slake, the heart shall burn, thy head shall ache, and every joint above thee quake.
That was Sarah Connolly.
Do you love that gentle titter at the end? You hear the hands go, I love that.
for those who didn't catch all of the words, she's a mother. And at that point.
Yes, this is after the lovely first half, the idyllic first half, where it's some of the, all right, I've been singing you lullabies. I've done this. I've entertained you. All is well. Now, the second half is, oh, my goodness, won't you please go to sleep? Quiet sleep. And she says, or I will send all these things to you, the furies, and just please go to sleep.
I'm with Meredith Arwady, and she'll be performing a solo recital on Friday at 7:30 in South Haven at First United Methodist Church. And, you know, Kalamazooans, I know you think you're spoiled with, you know, all the music coming to you. But an evening in South Haven, listening to Meredith, it's a great idea, and you should make the effort.
It won't be too long. It's probably about an hour and a half with the intermission, so not too late.
Excuse to go to the lake as well.
Absolutely.
Make a longer
day.
Get
that last little bit of August.
So you have started your family, and you mentioned your son is 16 months old. And for the most part, is he a pretty happy little guy?
He's very agreeable. We lucked out, and we were quite content. We decided to keep him. So.
Is he turning out a bit musical?
He definitely loves playing his own little piano. Mm-hmm. He bangs away, and he screams in a glorious manner, and he bounces along to music. And when I'm playing the piano, he just wants to be there with me. And he seems to tolerate quite well my practicing. So,
a lot of musician parents don't necessarily look to, you know, foist a music career on their children. It's something that I imagine you think about, you know.
I mean, don't want to foist anything on him, but I would love music to be a part of his life, because I think all the piano I took, even though I'm incredibly bad, and on the violin and clarinets, I mean, my goodness, but my times in orchestra and band and just learning the piano can only help with things like math and reading and concentration. And I mean, you know all the research done on this. It's wonderful. And I really find that it can help me with appreciation of everything in life, and him as well.
I think we're quite lucky just in Kalamazoo to have some strong programs in schools as well as supplemental schools.
Absolutely.
That allow young people to do hands-on music, whereas it's sometimes a disconnect for a generation, a couple generations now, where a lot of music is created simply in a studio with computers, right. And having that physical connection, right. Is
and great. Lots of people are really committed to going into the schools, having the kids. I love doing school outreach as well, because often they're so well prepared, the teacher, and they can ask all these questions. Do you shatter glass? You know, and then you sing something like "It's a Hard Knock Life," and they know it because it's in a popular song now. And also, it's great when they have pet the instruments, where lots of orchestras do this, where kids can come and actually get close and try things out and see if they have an affinity for things. And also Gilmore, the wonderful Gilmore Festival here, they definitely do things for little kids as well, where they'll have specific programs that are geared more towards them. And
quite a lot, yeah.
Yes, wonderful.
It's very, very fortunate for our young people who will be, music adjacent for their entire growing up. You do get to see a bit more of the world than I do, and many of us do, and sort of gauge the health of the opera world here and there.
My son took his first steps in Germany this summer. But it is very exciting to be doing things all around, because as you said, you do, like Germany, they have such great financial help that they're not afraid to really think outside the box. And this summer, I got to do The Medium. It's by Menotti, and in Frankfurt, Germany. And it's just, I hadn't done it in so many years. It's so rarely done in America. But I got to whip and kill a mute gypsy boy and run. It's the most physically and vocally and just exhausting and fulfilling thing ever. I mean, by the end, you're just dripping and they're screaming. You have to scream and you have to just push yourself as far as you can with every part of your body and your voice.
The crowds, did they appreciate
absolutely
your efforts?
Absolutely. And it's just wonderful that even though I was singing in English, they can still, they had the super tiles and everything, but to be able to connect to a character. There's nothing I enjoy more than things being written for me as well. I'm going to be doing a new opera coming up soon, and the composer knows me well, and it keeps getting lower and lower and lower, and it makes me happier and happier. When she had first sent me some pages, she said, "Now, I know this gets very low." And I went through them, and I said, "Oh, I was waiting for it to get low." And so it keeps, she said, "Oh, good." So it keeps getting lower. And I think with a stranger vocal part, like a contralto. I'm actually even probably below a contralto. I'm more of a female tenor. And having something that just fits me perfectly and knows your strengths, because it's not even the range. Because yes, all right, I can sing that note, I can sing this note, but it's also the tessitura, which means where something sits, where it kind of hangs out, and where your strengths are. And you say, all right, you want it up here? I can give this to you, but it needs to be really loud, and it needs to have something as a jumping off point to help me get there. Or if you want it really quiet, it helps if it's below this note, when I feel I can really bring it down and be conspiratorial.
And this is something you can tell this composer
Absolutely.
To design a part like
right.
that. Who is the composer?
Not sure how much I'm allowed to share, but it's Jennifer Higdon. If you're familiar with her, she's a wonderful person and a composer, and I can't share anything more about it, but we're going to be workshopping it this fall as well, which is an incredible luxury, which is rarely afforded to us these days. Usually you're told when to show up and you know it, and you have to know it the first day and has to be memorized. The joy of a workshop is that you get to play around with things. You say, all right, how does this sound? Should this suddenly turn into a duet? Should we change the order of this? Should we change the octave? And I've been parts of other world premieres, and it was very similar. It was amazing. It was amazing. We would finish the day of rehearsals, and we'd get there the next day. They'd say, all right, so this, you are down the octave. This, we're turning it into a trio. I mean, just amazing. This, we need to change the whole second verse. It's just, it's so exciting because you feel you're part of something that's living.
Yeah, pianists don't get to do that with Beethoven sonatas.
Well, you can be a jazz pianist then, and you can make your own.
But it's so flexible at one point before
right.
it gets canonized
right.
in a way.
Right.
And you actually embody and kind of create. There's always special respect given to the originator of a part.
But this March, I believe we're going to, and beginning of April, I'll be in Detroit at the Michigan Opera Theater doing Champion. It's amazing. That's a role, very short role, that was written for me by Terrence Blanchard, who is an amazing jazz trumpeter.
Yes.
And he, when he first wrote it for us back in 2014, 2015 for St. Louis, he had sent us his first impressions. His first ideas. And he said, not only have I never written an opera, I've never written seriously for the human voice. And we're like, oh my goodness. So he said, anything.
Like a rookie.
No, it was brilliant because he said, anything that doesn't suit, just change it to any note within the harmonic structure. And so he'd be there in rehearsals. And it was very much, it felt like a collaboration where you would try something new, they would try different things every day. And if he really didn't like it, he'd be like, eh, I don't know, you know. And if he liked it, he'd be like, get it, go for it. And so you really felt like you were part of the process, and there was no proprietary feelings about it. It was astonishing.
You're very fortunate to have worked with Terrence Blanchard, who's prolific and seems to be only growing. I was, last year saw Black Klansman. And wondered all through the movie, this music's great.
Absolutely.
And it's not just jazz. It's a lot of European string sounds. And then at the end, it was, oh, Terrence Blanchard.
He tends to do most of his movies, respectively, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And this past summer, St. Louis did his new opera, Fire in My Bones. And I was unfortunately in Germany, and I missed it all. But my friends were involved, and they just shared some of it with me. And it's astonishing.
I'm a little off topic with Meredith already, but I hope it goes to show the vibrancy of the world she's working in, and maybe that we're quite lucky to have her give us a performance right here in West Michigan on Friday at 7:30 in South Haven at First United Methodist Church. Let's hear another song. I think you mentioned John Jacob Niles.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you'll have to remind me, he's a contemporary composer?
No, I'll look up the actual dates.
Oh, so he goes back a ways.
Yes.
I have a song we can listen to and guess the time frame. We'll be right back with Meredith Arwady.
Going from my window, go away from my door, go away, away, away from my bedside. I'll give you back your ring. We'll never forget my untrue love. As long as songbirds sing, as long as songbirds sing.
Well, it's a little hard to tell from that excerpt what century John Jacob Niles, maybe the like Bob Dylan era.
But well, a lot of it. He was born in 1892. I just looked it up. And he passed away in 1980. And Peter, Paul, and Mary and Bob Dylan were very influenced by his work. And he was drawn to Appalachian songs. And I'm going to be performing two of his pieces. This one, Go Away From My Window, followed by The Last From the Low Country. And both of them are simple lyrics and a simple story told in a way that's often strophic, which means it's just repeating, as you heard, the same tune over and over again with different verses. And you can change the approach to it, you can change the speed, you can change the dynamics. And there's something amazing to me about strophic songs, because you have to find something different to say every single verse.
Often, elements of, you know, a story that mm-hmm. continues to go on while the same material is used.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to continue our theme here, after the excerpt from A Charm of Lullabies by Britten and Never Say No, it's basically saying, why are kids putting beans in their ears and jam on the cat? So this is part of the Oh My Goodness Children. And then Things Go Wrong, and we have a wonderful little section, I Hate Men from Kiss Me Kate, which is definitely a favorite. And then Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair from South Pacific by Rodgers and Hammerstein, which is just fun. And that will ease us into the next part, which is the go away from my window and just say, and bother me no more. I'll give you back your letters, but I'll never forget my true love as long as songbirds sing. And it's just this heartbreaking thing to say, I understand we're over, but this. And then the last from the low country, which is this woman saying, she's just a common person, and she fell in love with a royal person and never told him. And he wandered by, and she said, now she sleeps in the valley where the wild flowers nod, and no one knows she loved him but herself and God. And it's just so beautiful. And just this idea that that's the end of love. And, yeah.
A kind of an entire life's experience.
Yeah. And then Stars in the Moon, another Jason Robert Brown from Songs for a New World, where it's one of my favorite songs. I've never performed it, and it's an Audre classic. And it's saying, oh, I had the chance for this, but I thought, that's not really what I want. Had the chance for this, nah. It's like, oh, I'd rather have a yacht. Oh, I can have this. No, I'd rather have champagne. And then you get what you think you wanted with the perfect person. You say, I'm not dreaming. I'm not growing. I'll never have the moon.
Well, that's something we have to come to grips with. I mean, everybody does. Mm-hmm. It's been great to spend a little time with you, Meredith.
Thank you so much for having me.
Learn about your current goals and enthusiasms and projects. Very exciting. Any last thoughts on your Friday concert?
That's a wonderful, wonderful gift to be able to call Kalamazoo my home once again and permanently. My husband is full-time staff at Western, and we're going to raise our son here, and we're excited for the Kalamazoo Promise, and we're also excited for all these wonderful musical and cultural opportunities that Kalamazoo has to offer, and we're so thankful for this community, I hope to see many of you on Friday and to say hello in person.
We're lucky to have you here, too. Thanks, Meredith.
Thank you.
Here's Summertime. And we're going to take a chance again on a live performance, but the singer is Kathleen Battle, so let's give it a listen.